We've known Lori for quite a while, and she carries the spirit of this house. I've heard the message already, and I'm so wired up I could bounce off the ceiling. When it takes time to develop a person to handle the word, doesn't it? When you first start, you're just full of, oh my gosh, what am I saying? And I think this opinion might be good. I'm not sure. It takes you about 5 years to figure out whether you're preaching heresy or not, really. Because you got to come under the knife of the Lord, the shaping influence of Jesus. And they say 7 years in, you can see some fruit of it if you stay true to the Lord. Unfortunately, and too often, you know, you have people that are not staying true to the Lord or to the Word. But I want to guarantee that here, we're going to preach the Word of God in a very all-inclusive, loving way. Yet everybody in here realizes something. Has anybody besides me realized that you're actually a sinner in need of a Savior? And the whole world is that way. We can fight with that as long as we want. But the reality is, we'll stand before the one who gave his all for us at the end of this life. There will be a day of accounting, and we'll all stand before him. So why don't we just go ahead and fall in love with Jesus now? Amen. Well, I'm going to invite Lori up. She has a phenomenal message. I don't want to oversell it because the fact of the matter is I can't. It's called The Prisoner of Hope. Hello, Lori, where are you there?
Here I am.
I want to ask you to do something with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive your word for my heart today.
The word for my heart today.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I'm a children's pastor off and on in my... So I have illustrations, so that's what's behind me, and I'll get to that. But I'm going to have to wear these the whole time. So here we go. I wanted to speak about hope today. This is something the Lord has put on my heart. The body of Christ, obviously, is, you can watch the news for 5 minutes, we're under attack with hopelessness. There's an assault of hopelessness. So today, the Lord gave me a word about being a prisoner of hope. Before I go into that, I'm just going to drop this because I wasn't going to share it, but it keeps coming up. But I was watching CNN, reading CNN, and as I was reading it, I felt myself begin to get very discouraged. And this isn't a message about depression, because some people, that is a real thing. This is about biblical hope, okay? So it's, if you struggle with depression, please do not feel any condemnation in this message. That is a real and valid illness, and I pray you seek help. So just want to throw that blanket out there. Anyways, I was watching CNN, and I became very discouraged, almost fearful. And then I realized, well, that's because there's a spirit of terror that's been unleashed upon the earth. And the Lord said, if you're going to read CNN and watch CNN, you must balance it with biblical good news, so the BGN. So you're going to watch CNN, get right back into BGN, the biblical good news. You got to have balance, or you'll fall prey to it. Okay, so I'm going to read out of Zechariah 9:12. Let's just pray for a minute. Father God, I just ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would open our eyes, Lord. Open our hearts, that we'd have a heart. This is what I pray over children. Lord, that you would give us spiritual ears to hear what you want to say, spiritual eyes to see what you want us to see, and a heart that understands your great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when I pray for kids, I always say, pray for your ears, your eyes, your heart. And then you zip your lips, you know what I mean? Okay, so Zechariah 9:12. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today, surely I declare that I will restore double to you. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today, I declare I will restore double for you. Double to you, double for your trouble. Okay, I'm watching Shark Week. Anybody Shark Week fans out here? Come on. Discovery Channel Shark Week. It's awesome. I'm starting to believe that maybe some of those stories are made up. I don't know. What was it last night? Eden had laser eyes or something? I don't know. It was really crazy. But anyways, it's really interesting because these divers, they put on suits, wetsuits, and they put their little flippers on. And they swim around the water, and then they wonder why the sharks are after them, because I'm thinking they look like a seal. So that could be why the shark is after you, look a lot like a seal. But the interesting thing is they have these shark cages, and they get into the shark cage, and it's a protection. And do the sharks come after them? Yeah, definitely. They're like throwing blood out there and everything. They're crazy. These guys are nuts. They're like adrenaline junkies. And the sharks puts his face in there, and he's tearing up the cage, but he can't get in. He can't get in. There's sharks in the water, but because he's a prisoner, he chooses to be a prisoner in a cage, he can't get out. He's a prisoner. We're a prisoner of hope. You need to lock yourself up in hope. Stay in hope. Throw away the key. Don't get out. Be a prisoner of hope. If I really would have loved to do, I would have actually built a cage. And I would have walked over every time and said, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Surely I will restore double to you, double for your trouble. Now, this is the thing about hope. We use hope in the English language different than biblical hope. Hope is like, oh, wishing upon a star. No, this kind of hope is not wishing upon a star, but putting my hope in the one who spoke the stars into being. That's the kind of hope I'm talking about. Worldly hope, and the hope I use in the English language, like, Nick, I hope I get to see you later. Come to lunch. Oh, man, I hope that those shoes are still on sale at Penny's. I'm really hoping that happens. Biblical hope's not that way. Worldly hope and hoping about sales and if we can go to lunch together, that has a level of uncertainty. I don't actually know if I'm really going to obtain that. That size shoe might be gone. I wear eights and they're hard to find. You just don't know. There's a level of uncertainty. Biblical hope, guarantee. Guarantee. There is a certainty because God is hope. I want to read a scripture to you, and then I'm going to, this is my intro. Romans 15:13. This is what it says. May the God of all hope. God is hope. We often say, God is love. He is. God is hope. May the God of all hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wait, let me go back here. May the God of all hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In faith. Faith and hope go together. Faith and hope go. You can have faith, but you better have hope. Faith and hope go together. Hope is the runway that faith flies off of. So faith and hope go. Joy and peace in believing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound, be overflowing. This is from the Amplified. Bubbling up with hope. Thing is, we live in a very negative, cynical world. And if you're negative, you're not hoping. If you're negative, you're out of the cage and you're now in shark-infested waters. Now, is it tempting to be negative? Yes. Am I saying that we're living in a world of butterflies and rainbows? No. In this life, you will have trouble. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, Nick. I have overcome the world. Not just the world, but death, hell, and the grave. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. We have hope in the certainty of God's love for us. If we're negative, we're in shark-infested waters. We're not a prisoner of hope. Today, I want to talk about how to be a prisoner of hope. So hope is the confident expectation, the sure certainty that what God has promised in the Word is true. It will occur in accordance to God's sure Word. One of the ways, so if I want to unlock with a key the door of hope, and I want to lock myself in there. One of the ways that we can stay a prisoner of hope is divine perspective. Divine perspective. Now, this is kind of interesting because Jeremiah was instructed to go to the potter's house. And when he went to the potter's house, he saw the potter at the wheel throwing a pot. And so he saw, I've used this illustration before with kids. And he saw the clay. And as the potter began to shape the clay, he said that the clay became marred in his hands. So, you know, when they're throwing, sometimes it collapses. So the potter just made a new one. He used the same clay, and he made a new one. And he's told Jeremiah to go down there because I want to speak something to you. And this is what he says to Jeremiah. He says, Jeremiah 18:5, this is for divine perspective. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, why don't you insert your name in? O house of Lari, can I not do with you as this potter? Can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look at the clay as in the potter's hand. So are you, O house of Amanda, in the hand of the Lord, in the hand of the potter. Can I not do with you, Eleanor? Karen, can I not do with you? But here's the thing. I think a lot of times we think that what he's doing to us is this, like just killing us. If you want to know what you view God, if you want to know what you think about God, ask yourself this question. What does God think of me? That will take you right down the alley that you need to go. And if you think, well, I think God thinks I'm a loser, that's a complete lie. And the devil's full of lies. That's all he can do is lie. So it's complete opposite. You're a winner. You're a winner. So here's what I want to tell you. Here's what you can do. Camp on this. Jeremiah 29:11. We took this message to Bogota, Colombia, didn't we, Pastor? And when Pastor Kathy went too, Ted, everybody. We watched. Remember Pastor Andrew? We watched children be shaped by this. So it says that in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, to give you a future and a hope. When you are a potter and you're looking at the clay, are you looking at this? Are you looking at that? No. You're focused on this. You're focused on where you're going with the clay. The clay only has this perspective. Father God and the potter has this perspective. This is our hope. This is the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can't see this, but this is where God's taking me. But here's what happens. When there's trouble, two things happen to us. We get tempted. We're in the cage. We get tempted. Go after the sharks. Two things happen. One, when there's trouble that comes, and the word for trouble is tribulation. Tribulation in the Bible is the same word used for crushing grapes and crushing olives. Can everybody say pressure? What is it, Brian Regan, that says doctors don't say pain, they say pressure? You're going to feel a little pressure. Ah, it's a lot of pressure. So a little bit of pressure you're going to feel in the spirit. Like spiritual bench pressing. Bench pressing. In this life you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. So it's spiritual bench pressing. We feel those things. And we have two things that we get tempted to do. We get tempted to draw away from God. Shrink back. Don't know if I can trust the potter. And the other thing is we want to blame ourselves or we want to blame others. Somebody's going to pay. It's either going to blame myself. I must have missed it. I must not be hearing. I can't hear from God. What's wrong with me? I'm a freak. You know, whatever. Okay. And so we tend to do those things. That's why we need to be a prisoner of hope. We need to have perspective. We need to see things the way God sees, the way they are, the way God sees them. So like in 2 Kings, Elisha had a servant, and the servant was kind of blind to what was really going on, and Elisha opened his eyes. He gave him divine perspective, and this is what happens in 2 Kings. So Israel and Syria are in a fight. They're in a battle. Sounds familiar, right? Israel was in a battle with Syria, and the Syrian king found out that Israel was kind of having ideas of their strategies and their battle plans, because what had happened was Elisha started informing the king that Syria was going to do some things. So the Syrian king finds out. He goes, I want to see this guy. Go get him. So this is what happens. 2 Kings 6:14-17. Therefore, he sent horses, the king of Syria. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army. To get one man? To get one prophet. He sends horses and chariots and a great army. And they came by night and they surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city of horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Isn't that the age-old question? What do we do? That's what I would have been saying. So Elijah answered him, do not fear. Who does that sound like? Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. He couldn't see it. He didn't have the perspective. God was working behind the scenes. We can't always see that God is doing something behind the scenes. We have to trust in His heart for us. We trust. We get in the prison of hope and say, I trust You, Lord. I can't see with my eyes. But my goodness, if I did, there's a whole army of chariots of fire all around me. That's what I trust in. That is what my hope is. The One that not only wish upon a star, but the One who created the stars, spoke them into being. To be a prisoner of hope, you need divine perseverance, divine persistence. You know the story of Abraham. I don't think there was anybody that had more persistence than Abraham. Abraham was promised. He said he would be the father of many nations. God ever promise you something? God ever show you this? Every once in a while we get a glimpse, right? We get a glimpse. The second point is divine persistence. Divine persistence. So Abraham was told he would be a father of nations. Father of many nations. And so he waited, he and Sarah. And then they tried some other things. Because sometimes when you're on the potter's wheel, you decide to jump off, kind of figure it out on yourself, and you jump off and you roll around on the floor because you don't think really the potter knows what he's doing. So then the potter, you know, you roll around, you get, I don't know if you roll into sin or you roll into trusting other things, you try to make that happen on your own. And this is pretty much your state. So then the potter has to pick you up, and then it takes a while before he can pick all the debris that you've rolled yourself around in to start again. So that's kind of what happened with Abraham and Sarah a little bit, and I'm certainly not condemning them because I don't know if I could have ever done what they did. So they waited for the son, and they waited, and then they waited, and waited. I could do this for quite a long time. And then the promise came, and this is what Paul says about in Romans 4, verse 18. And he's speaking of Abraham. In hope, Abraham believed. In hope, he believed against hope. Abraham believed contrary to hope, that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken his faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old. And when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no unbelief made him waver. He was persistent. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promises of God, but he grew strong in his faith. Faith and hope go together. As he gave glory to God, as he worshiped God. So let me get this right. Abraham's body is completely gone as far as producing a child. And so is Sarah. So that sounds pretty hopeless to me. It sounds like everything's just, there's nothing in their resources to make this happen now. It is completely gone. So there's no hope, no even chance of hope, and all hope is lost. What's Abraham do? He hopes anyways. He hopes anyways. Hope, biblical hope is not passive. Biblical hope is active. It's an attitude. I will never give up. I will never back down. I will never lose hope. I will hope anyways. It makes no sense. I don't understand this. I'm hoping anyways. I'm just the clay here. I'm hoping anyways. God's working behind the scenes. There's a whole chariot of fire of armies around me that I don't see, but I'm trusting God. I'm hoping in God. Faith and hope go together. You cannot have one without the other. And the enemy wants to render you hopeless so that you'll be helpless. He wants to render you hopeless so that you'll become helpless. And the third point that I want to make is divine position. And when I was doing this message, that I think that's the word, that's the place that I felt the most, I guess, heart for, that the Lord had for everybody. Because we have had, every one of us, everybody here has a story to tell. Of either when trouble has come or tribulation or I'm pressing through something, I'm believing for something, I'm worn out. And hope deferred can make your heart sick. But don't stop there. Because a desire fulfilled will be a tree of life. You can't stop in the hope deferred. If you stop in the hope deferred, you will be sick. You will be stuck. You must hope and believe for the desire that will be fulfilled. It will be a tree of life. A tree of life has fruit. A tree of life has more trees. There's a whole huge imagery with that. So I want to talk about divine position. And when I was when I was preparing this, this came to me very strong. And I'm going to go back to Zechariah. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today, I declare that I will restore double to you. The power is in return. Why does he say return unless you've left? You've been drawn away. Troubles, maybe prolonged waiting. I don't know your story. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your finances. We all have stuff. I don't know what's drawn you out of the cage, but you're now in shark-infested waters. You once were hopeful. You once were full of hope, full of faith. Yeah, God, I'm believing you for all things. You can do anything. And something happened. Or it didn't happen the way you wanted it to happen. Or it didn't look like what you wanted it to look like. And next thing you know, you're swimming with sharks. The Lord would speak to you this morning and say, return. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Surely I will restore double to you. Now listen, I believe in that so much that when the Lord gave me the scripture, I have it marked down in summer of 2012. The Lord gave me this personal word. And it's for you too. It's for all of us. 2012. I believe it so much that I have dashes over here waiting for that double for my trouble. You know what? It probably won't look like what I think it's going to look like because I'm just clay. But what if it's better? What if it's better? His ways are higher than my ways. It will be better. Amen. It's all about position. Listen, when a woman is giving childbirth, when she is bearing a child, and I'm not going to give you a huge anatomy lesson, but just listen for a minute. The woman's body is created to bring forth life. The position of the baby is vital. I remember going through labor and delivery classes and realizing, God is for real. How could just, that just didn't happen. I mean, the size of the way the woman's pelvis is made for a child and the shoulders and all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you right now, labor and delivery is labor and delivery. It's difficult. But it's even more difficult if that baby is positioned wrong. It's next to impossible. Women have died in childbirth back before there were ultrasounds and C-sections because the baby was not positioned correctly. Position is everything. The Lord says to you this morning, reposition yourself. Get to the place where you are where you need to be so that spiritually I can birth you. I can birth you where I want you to be. I cannot birth you if you're hopeless. I cannot birth you if you lack faith. Reposition yourself. Return. There's no condemnation in that. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. I'll be the first to, I'm going to get back in here. Lock it, throw a key, don't even shake me from it. I don't care how many sharks shake this thing. I'm not going anywhere. I'm Abraham, I hope anyways. Wow, I got happy. This is better than aerobics, Lord. Should be some kind of oxygen tank up in here. Listen to this, Romans 5, verse 1 through 5. Therefore, this is the position to stay in. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only in that, but how about this? But we also hope and we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and now hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Look what has to happen to reach hope. Tribulation, difficulty, perseverance, waiting. In the waiting, you get some character. It's what happens in the process of waiting. Then hope. It doesn't say happily ever after. Then you get a party horn. Then some balloons. It doesn't say cakewalk. Life is easy. You have no character. It takes the shaping. Gosh, I don't even like preaching like this because I don't want to be tested on it. I really don't. Truly don't. Tribulation, difficulty, that's what happens. Perseverance, waiting. You know, the little clay is waiting. What's going on? Why is it all of a sudden hot in here? The little ball of clay says, "Ooh, it's hot in here. Why am I being shaped and twisted and I feel really uncomfortable?" And because he doesn't give up, the character's developed. That's what happens in the process. And then hope. And hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. These are not the days to shrink back. These aren't those days. These, I feel like Aragorn in Lord. These are not the days to shrink back, people. These are the days to reposition yourself. That's what I feel like. It's not the hour to shrink back. It's the time that we need to reposition ourselves and be full of hope, locked up in hope. I'm going to end with a dream I had, not yesterday or today, or 11 years ago, actually. I don't know if you've ever had, and I feel funny sometimes talking about dreams because people get really weird about dreams. They start writing them all down. They think all of them have some kind of meaning. And, you know, people can get off on that kind of stuff. This isn't one of those things. And this wasn't a too much pizza kind of a dream. This was a specific guiding of the Lord that he spoke to me. And Jesus spoke through parables. He spoke through illustrated sermons. He did these things so that we can understand. Sometimes we can't see because we are just clay and we only have one perspective. So in my dream, some of you will be in it, so you'll think it's kind of funny. So 11 years ago, I had a very personal tragedy happen in my life. It was a very sorrowful, dark time. And on the heels of that, there was a cleansing stream that was coming up. And so I felt like I was supposed to go, but I wasn't sure. And the people that love me and the leaders of those ministries, we discussed it. And we said, you know what, should I go to this retreat and be on the ministry team? Because I really just came out of something extremely difficult. Maybe this isn't the right time. It doesn't really make sense. And they said, you know what, let's pray. That's a great idea. If you don't know what to do, that's a really good place to start. So I said, let's pray and let's seek the Lord about it. I said, that's not a great idea. I'm in agreement with that. A couple days went into the week and I had this dream in the night. And in the dream, again, it's an illustrated sermon. God speaks to you the way that you can receive it. So in my dream, I'm standing outside of a castle and a knight approaches me, powerful, confident, bold, full of just fearlessness. I knew it was Jesus. He came right up to me. He said, come with me. We walk inside the castle, and we walk inside there. There's a table, like a round table, and there's maps and strategic planning. And the enemy, we literally walk into the enemy meeting with his, I don't know, military group, evil lords. I don't know, however you want to do it, you know, principalities. You know, he's having some kind of meeting with them, strategizing against us. Now, we could have gone around that building and got to our whatever we needed to do. We didn't have to go in there. But Jesus, full of boldness, fearlessness, just walks right through. The enemy was so flabbergasted that he did that bold, ridiculously bold move, that they didn't even know how to react. They were like shocked, like, well, how? What? And then they're looking at me, and I'm like, I'm with this guy. And I mean, I was like almost on his back. I was so afraid to be away from him. So when we walk out, there's like this controlled chaos and, you know, there's horses and buggies and people are getting ready for war. And Pastor Karen and Gary were in charge of the supply wagon. And so they're sitting in the front of this supply wagon. Now you were loaded. I mean, you had some artillery. You had weapons. I mean, you weren't just sitting there, you know, crocheting. All right. You're very focused. And for some reason, I felt like I was to get in the back of the wagon because of my condition. You know, because I had just gone through something. I was supposed to sit in the back. And so I do. I sit in the back of the wagon, and I'm sitting there. My feet are, like, dangling off the back. And then I don't have a weapon. I'm pretty much going to be at the end of this line here. Like, we're last. And there I am, and there's the enemy, and I got nothing. And I realized if I stayed in the supply wagon, I was going to die there. Like, I had to get out. Even though my condition would say, you need to sit down. No, I had to get up. So I get up, and as soon as I get up, I'm looking for Jesus. I see Dave Wood. He would like this. And he's got two horses. One is his, and then he's got the spirited horse, which was mine. I hate horses, really, in the natural. I'm sorry if you love horses. I like them, but I'm not one to go ride a horse. But in the spirit, I was all about it. So I get on the horse. Dave's like, here's your horse. I'm like, thank you. I get on the horse, and as soon as I got on the horse, the knight, Jesus comes flying by me and says, ride. And I ride with everything in me. Ride. He was here, and that was me, as close as possible, because that was the safest place to be. It made sense to be in the supply wagon. I would die there. I wouldn't even be standing here right now if I would have sat down in that wagon. He told me three things. He said, come with me and ride. Here's the thing that I got from that. One, it's not a time for me to sit down. It's not a time. I need to get out of the wagon. And two, he didn't wait for me. Jesus did not wait for me. He didn't coddle me. He didn't say, take your time, honey. We'll just wait till it all gets better. He said, come with me and ride. And so my word today is return. I don't know what's taking you out. Hopelessness is everywhere. If you're human, you've felt that. If you breathe life on the planet Earth, you have had troubles at times. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. My word for you today is to return. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Surely I will restore double to you. Even today I declare it, says the Lord, I will restore double. Double for your trouble. You got to believe that. You got to get out of the water and into the cage. I know it doesn't make sense. You have to be in bondage to hope. You have to be shackled to it, full of it, of hope. Sorry. But I do want to pray. And so let's just, you can bow your head if you want. You don't have to. Pastor's been talking about repenting. And return and repent, I think, kind of go hand in hand. The Lord wants you to reposition yourself so that he can give you the double for your trouble. If you're not in hope and you're not in faith, he can't give you the double. You've got to be in the right position. And this next season, Jesus is moving. We must go where he's going. We must go with him. Get out of the supply wagon and go. So, Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would begin to show us, Father God, where we have maybe drifted from you, where we have shrunk back, where we have even missed it at times, Lord. You said, you showed Jeremiah that even if the clay gets marred, you can make another vessel. You can make another vessel that seems good. Your thoughts towards us are good and not evil, to give us a future and a hope. Open our eyes like you did Elijah's servant, Lord, that we would know that there are more that are for us than that are against us. That we would be like Abraham. We would never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Yes. Never give up. A righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up again. Never give up. Give us the non-passive attitude of hope that we will not give up. We will hope anyways. We will hope anyways. We will call those things that aren't as though they are. We will hope. When we reposition ourselves, Lord, we reposition ourselves to receive the double. Thank you, Jesus.
Many of us have had something stolen from us. And when you're bruised from the thief, you get hopeless. And this word is so profound. Return to the stronghold and be a prisoner of hope. And then he says, even today I declare to you that I will restore double to you. Now let's do the math. What has been stolen from you?
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is saying, Jesus, be the prisoner of hope, and the double is coming.
Hallelujah.
Take that in. Everybody has been picked off somewhere. And as a body, even corporately, there have been things that have been stolen. And the Lord's saying, don't allow the spirit of hopelessness to attach itself to you. As Lori so profoundly said, get in the cage. The sharks are there, so what? Get in the cage. Wrap yourself up in the hope, God's preferred picture. Would you let out just a murmur of gratitude and praise to the Lord? Let's fill the room up. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Tell you what, let's do. Let's go ahead and stand together and lift your hands to the Lord. He's just dropping hope back into your spirit. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Healing too, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Double, I will restore double to you. Double to you. Get your heart wrapped around that. The Lord is speaking to us. Double, 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 double. Whatever was stolen, He says, I'm giving double. Stay in hope. Stay in hope. Stay in hope. Stay in hope. Don't let anything steal you from that. Praise you, Lord. Let's praise you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is a determination. This is a determination to stay in that position. Don't let anything get you out of the position of hope. Don't allow the adversary to bring up the contemplation of what was taken from you and get you to commiserate over what. The Lord says, stay in hope. Double's coming. Stay in hope. Double's coming. Double's coming. Stay there. Double's coming. Hallelujah. Well, Lori's preaching got on me. And listen, there are many of you, many of you. There's been things stolen. And you feel ripped off. It just happens. The thief doesn't come except to kill, steal, and destroy. And when he shows up, he's a kleptomaniac. Something's missing. But Jesus, I have come. I have come. Jesus says, I have come. And I have come to give life more abundantly. So instead of sitting there thinking of what was stolen, stay in hope and watch the restorer come. And let Him restore double. Anybody open to a dimension? This is a word for us, church. This is a word for us. When Lori was downstairs, and I said, somehow this double thing just kept coming. Double says, you don't know me well enough yet to see the level of restoration I'm into for you. Let's lift our praises to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and praise Him. Let's just stand before Him and praise Him. Enter the stronghold. Return to the stronghold. Return to the stronghold. Return. Return to the stronghold. Be the prisoner of hope. Let nothing else get your mind. Let nothing else get your mind. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Lift your hands. Would you just lift them? He says, my burden is easy. The Lord's removing something of a weight. Somebody, somewhere, is getting something taken off of you. Because the blows of hell try to determine your identity and the way your perspective, the divine perspective, has come today. You see. He's not looking at what you're looking at and feeling what you're feeling at that point. He's saying it's better than you think. Just a little longer. Don't become discouraged. In fact, be strengthened today. Because some weights of discouragement are being lifted off. Hallelujah. I try to say it the best I sense it in the Spirit. But there's some of you, some things that just... the Lord's been lifting it off, but you're so used to feeling that way. And the Lord says, no more, no more, no more. No more. Return to the stronghold, not the burden. Receive the ministry of the Spirit in your heart right now. In your mind, in your spirit, in your emotions. Receive the healing flow. Receive the touch. Thank you, Lord. Receive this readjustment to your heart and perspective. Hallelujah. Let me invite those on the platform. We're going to be praying at the end of the service. Come on up. And then, what a powerful word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Personally, I'm very glad I came today. And even though I didn't preach, I got the word. We're going to break for a time of fellowship in a little bit. I don't want any of this to be taken from you. Enough has been taken from you. Are you there?
Yes.
Let's lift our heads to the Lord. Oh, saints, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in His wonderful name.